Las Vegas, famous, fabulous playground of the West. A wide open town that never goes to sleep.
Vegas! Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You're either in or you're out, right now.
My best mates are down in Las Vegas this weekend. I'm told it's incredible.
Vegas, here we go!
Pack your bags and get ready for a different kind of Vegas experience with someone who knows Vegas inside and out. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Welcome once again to Las Vegas, where the sports world has decided is a very attractive place to come. You know, in the old days, there was a fear of pro sports being anywhere near legalized gambling. Today, that fear is long gone. Instead, these various leagues are looking at an expanding population and a tourism mecca as a reason to come to the desert. And pro sports' first effort here, the Vegas Golden Knights, has been a huge success. Not only has the team become part of the community, but their games are nationally recognized as entertainment events. Today, you'll meet the man behind the entertainment, Vice President Johnny Greco. Before you head out to the game, you might want to stop and get something to eat. Today, you'll visit a restaurant that serves the best Spanish food you'll ever taste, even if you visit Spain. And as always, you'll hear from our regulars. Eddie O, the wine guy, America's first master sommelier, continues from last week his look at the incredibly difficult master sommelier exam. On luxury living, Vegas style, Katie Medrano of the TV show Flipping Vegas specifically addresses all of you HGTV junkies. You still need qualified experts when you're buying or selling property. Finally, last week, Scott Robin of VitalVegas.com discussed one of his favorite tours, the T-Mobile Arena Tour. But this week, Scott says, wait, there's more. If you follow hockey, or for that matter, if you just follow sports in general, you know the story of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. An incredible story. Expansion team gets to the Stanley Cup Finals, but everybody knows it's been an incredible experience here, the way they've handled it. Last year, we had with us Johnny Greco, the Vice President of Entertainment Productions for the Golden Knights. Johnny's back with us again this year, and I want to follow it up because Johnny, last time we talked, was just before the playoffs. Wow. Did you expect, first of all, who expected it to go as long and as great as it did? But also, were you surprised at how people took to some of the entertainment that you've been putting on that, you know, they'd heard about it around town, but, you know, for people outside and United States and Canada, they hadn't seen it.
Wow is right. Thank you, Steve. I'm happy to talk to you as always, man. It's a pleasure. Last year was insane on every level. And then it got to the point where it's like, hey, now we're going to the playoffs. And we're like, this is unbelievable. And on the entertainment side, and we all know hockey is first, and that is number one, and that is why people are coming to games and cheering the way they do. We also knew it was important to entertain and continue to do what we were doing all season long. The platform of being in the playoffs allowed us a really unique experience because, and you know, you've been covering us regular season last year when not a lot of people were necessarily talking about us. We still had a pretty dynamic show open. We had on ice performers, but you know, the country wasn't talking about it because there were tons of great sports stories. But as it kept going on and we got to the playoffs, there's less, you know, right? There's less things to look at. And once NBC was covering it nationally, a lot of people really got to see some of the things we were doing all year long. Of course, you're escalating it a little bit just with the intensity round to round and the narratives of the games. But it was an incredible experience. It was an incredible opportunity to showcase this incredible city, the fans, the support, and the entertainment we were trying to provide to support the great hockey going on the ice. So it was an unbelievable experience that we will always cherish for sure.
The Knights bring you in, and of course you knew your job was to entertain. You figured you're going to have a lot of losses, but you come in, everything turns around, and suddenly they're really good, and you realize, okay, this isn't going to stop. Yeah. Did you have to kind of change your mind in terms of what you had? Because before, like you said, you had to make sure people left because there was going to be a lot of losing. Yeah. Turns out there wasn't.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And we went in, going in, okay, expansion team, let's look at history books of sports. Generally not that great coming out of the gate, so let's be prepared to create an experience and an environment that fans, the next day after a game, are like, were you at the game? I was. And I got a high five from Chance, and I got a t-shirt, and they had this cool promotion, and I was on the video screen. Did they win? Oh, yeah, they did. They won three. You kind of wanted the entertainment, in our world at least, to lead, because maybe there weren't going to be a lot of wins. Again, all systems firing, we were really lucky to be able to celebrate the entertainment with winning, which, again, the hockey leads everything. So we were really proud to support that. And because we had the plan going in to be really engaging and have a lot of fun on the entertainment side, the winning just supported all that we were doing. We were prepared to maybe not be and still give them a good time. But when you are winning, everyone's having a good time. So then it kind of gave them an allowance to really kind of have fun and join the party with some of the weird stuff we were doing, you know?
More with the Knights' Johnny Greco in just a moment. Time now for Eddie O, the Wine Guy's series on what it takes to become a master sommelier. You know, the master sommelier test is so difficult, it's actually easier to become an NBA player, at least from a statistical point of view. Well, last week, Eddie touched on studying with thousands and thousands of index cards. This week, Eddie digs a little deeper.
They make you take this theory section and pass it first, before he can go on to the service portion or the tasting portion. It's kind of another way of qualifying people. Now, let's get the book work out of the way first. And once you've shown us that you know that, then we'll allow you to participate in the service section and the tasting section.
Wow. So this almost means you almost have to have a photographic memory just to get to part two of this thing. Wow.
Yeah. It's quite something. And then, you know, if you are successful at passing the theory part of the advanced, and then you go on and take the service and the tasting, and explain those two things, then you need to be invited to take the master sommelier exam. You don't just say, hey, I'm an advanced somm. I now want to take the MS or the master sommelier. Again, it's all about vetting and who's got more experience and who's taken the test three or four times and passed. You know, how many times did it take you to pass? I mean, people take this exam year after year after year and pass parts of it. And what you have to do is pass all three parts of it to qualify for example, the advanced certification. And then your next move, if you are invited, and again, there's always more people who would like to take the Master Sommelier exam than there is. I mean, it takes like 30 Master Somms just to fly into a city and judge these people. So it's a major expense to the quartermaster sommeliers to bring all these judges in. And they don't mess around. They only take candidates who they feel could pass. Now, to go back, let me explain. As I said, there are three sections of the exam. The first of them is the theory, where you got the 2,500 theoretical questions you could imagine they may ask you. They're probably only going to ask you 100 of them. But you got to know them all. If you pass that, then you can sit for the practical part of the exam or the service portion. And in a situation like this, very briefly, you'll walk into a room where there's a table of four or five judges sitting on a white tablecloth, and they're out for a great night on the town. They're in a fancy restaurant, and you're their somm. And when you walk up to the table, it's just like a pretend version of you being, you know, in a Vegas restaurant. And they start asking you questions about, you know, about wines that are on your wine list and what kind of foods and wines are ideal pairings. And they just dig at you. And, you know, you'll tell them, oh, you know, I think with that salmon gravlax, you probably should go with a white Bordeaux. It's 80% Sauvignon Blanc and 20% Semillon. And, you know, a typical response from one of the people at the table goes, oh, I hate white Bordeaux. What else?
Wow.
You know, and so then you come up with something else, and maybe you're talking New Zealand, or you're talking white Burgundy from France or whatever, and they beat you up pretty badly. They go, no, I don't like that. You know, I never had one of those any good. What year was your, you know, then they say, well, what year are you talking about? Is that a good year? You know, and why does this go with the food? You know, why are you recommending? They really tear you apart.
Eddie O will be back again next week. when you visit Las Vegas, you're always looking for fun things to do. And I think one thing you got to put on your list is the Neon Museum. It's fantastic. What a way to learn the history of Las Vegas, but by the signs that go back all the way to the 1930s. The lobby, in fact, is a restored shell from the old La Concha Motel. It's a lot of fun. The staff there is incredible. Really unique Las Vegas experience. So you can learn the history and have a blast. Go to neonmuseum.org. That's neonmuseum.org. More with the Knights' Johnny Greco in just a moment. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi, coast to coast on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Sam Riddle, and you are listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
The action is hot, the atmosphere cool, and the parking is free. The Orleans Hotel and Casino. Over 1,800 rooms, 70 lanes of bowling, an 18-screen movie theater, 8,000-seat arena, fabulous dining, virtual reality, a giant race and sports book, and the biggest stars are in the Orleans showroom. The Orleans Hotel and Casino. Two blocks west of the Strip, minutes from the airport, with rooms starting at $45. This is how you Vegas. The Orleans Hotel and Casino. Visit OrleansCasino.com. Welcome back to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
You are listening to Johnny Greco, Vice President of Entertainment for the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, were you kind of surprised during the season that, you know, a lot of people had expected, because it's Vegas, because everybody wants to visit here, that you'd have crowds where it would almost be like a neutral field, yeah, you know, or a neutral ice, you know, yeah. And people here took to it. I mean, did that kind of surprise you a little bit too, or was that always kind of the idea, no, let's build this home fan base?
Everything was surprising, because to come into this city, there were so many unknowns. Like, the heart of Vegas, maybe people knew it, maybe they didn't. I didn't, coming from the outside. But you think of the stereotypes. Oh, it's the Strip and the casinos and the this and world-class shows and the lights. But being here for not that long, and the hockey team provided this outlet for me personally to see what this city is made of, the DNA, the core of the people. And then as you, the people first in the community and what they loved and what they respected, we realized that we couldn't have Elvis as our host, and you couldn't have slot machines all over the place. Now, we wanted to honor certain traditions in Vegas and things that play, but we also wanted to give the people off the Strip, the circumference around this great city, those people, right? The businessmen, the soccer moms, the families, like the stuff that people in Vegas understand, there's a lot of that, but outside, not so much. And we learned it ourselves, like who we were catering to very quickly. So the heart of the locals, I really learned the sense of pride of what it meant to be a local and tourists. And we celebrate and we honor them. We're super hospitable. But if you're a local, that's like a badge of honor in this town. And the truth is, there's locals who've been here from the beginning, their whole lives. But if you've been here for more than 10 years, like, I think you're allowed to own that title. I don't know that for sure, but it just seems like, hey, I've been here most of my life. Like, I'm calling myself a Vegas guy, you know?
Well, and for the visitors, I got to tell you, for people that are thinking about seeing a sporting event, you've never seen anything like this. I mean, this thing has been fantastic. And the energy in this building, when you take the job, Johnny, Did you really foresee this type of energy? Because I've never seen it, and I've been to NHL games all my life.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the compliment on our incredible crowd. There was no way to foresee a lot of this. Like, you come in and you're excited about an opportunity, entertainment capital of the world. You're going to be a part of the entertainment team to celebrate that within hockey at the game in a city that hasn't had the professional sport. Like, there were a lot of unknowns. So we purposely built a really dynamic entertainment team from people who worked at an Original Six team with the Red Wings, people worked at ESPN, people worked in Boston with great sports town with rich tradition, people worked for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were part of building an organization in a state that never had a pro team. Somebody worked for the St. Louis Blues, somebody worked for WWE. We wanted to create a group that could be really fluid, because we didn't know completely what we were getting into. We knew the bar was set high for entertainment. We knew potentially the hockey wouldn't be great coming out of the gate. Again, we lucked out there. So we had to be ready to be like, hey, we're going to try this. but be ready to change. An example of that was our very first preseason game ever, you know, for a couple of months, and we had to hire about 90 people in 2 months to get the whole entertainment team together, so it was fast. But we had sort of an idea, we're going to play this kind of music, traditional hockey, heavy metal, hard rock, classic. That's what we're going to play at the games. But you had to be ready to change. So 2 minutes into our first preseason game ever, we're looking at each other and we're like, the crowd isn't feeling this at all. Now, all of what we know, we had a few of us who had worked in hockey before. That works. It didn't work. And we, there's a term we use a lot, listen to the crowd. Let's listen to the crowd. Let's let them be a part of this. They don't like this. Let's change it. We switched to a little bit more of a club vibe, top 40, more pop music. And that's kind of become a staple of the tunes in the arena. So we had to be ready to change all the time. We had to be really fluid, really creative. And if anyone said, yeah, we, you know what happened last year, Steve? We expected that. They're lying.
Well, you know, and the other thing I wanted to ask you, sure, you're in charge of entertainment, but what you had to do was take a region that really was unfamiliar with the sport. I mean, it's one thing, Montreal and Toronto, everybody grew up watching hockey, you know, from the moment they were born, they got skates on and are watching this. How did you go about doing that kind of thing? And by the way, mission accomplished. Was at a game the other night, and these people now know the right to me. I mean, there's a lot of signs around that tell people when to clap.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But they get it. They seem to know what's important.
Yeah, I mean, a penalty kill alone, right? Like, that's not the sexiest of a goal is easy to cheer for. There's a loud horn, there's music. A penalty kill, if you listen to the crowd at the beginning of the year last year when a penalty kill was happening or happens, and then by the time playoffs were going on, you're like, oh wow, that there was an evolution there. But something that we needed to be really cognizant of was not to be condescending in any way, shape, or form, because there are hockey fans. Now everybody's like, oh, it's hockey in the desert, they're not gonna know the game, you're gonna have to explain every single rule. And so people were assuming some of that, but really quickly we learned there's a lot of hockey fans, and it is a transient town. So there's people from Chicago, from Toronto, and they've embraced this team, thankfully. So we had to be aware of the newness to this region, but also not condescending to people who understand the game. So we have to toe that line with our programming. And I think we do a pretty good job of that, but we can always get better. But you can always educate, right? So whether you're educating what is icing, or you're educating the backstory on Chance, the mascot, there's still a level of education for everyone. So it's just about programming it the right way, in a tasteful way that gets people excited. But they definitely were educated as the year came about, but really they owned it. The fans, this community became what it is. We honored it and programmed it a little bit, but we let Vegas just run with it, and this became their team. And we just tried to support and showcase all the highlights.
And it seems like you do in the league, the NHL actually does a really good job of kind of just getting people ready for it by showing, you know, the best hits, the best this. And it's kind of a way, if you came to two or three games, you could figure it out. It's really not that complicated a game.
It's a great game, and it's a beautiful game, and part of that is simplicity. Sometimes we tend to overthink things, and watching hockey as a live sport in person is the best sport to watch live, in my opinion. And it really doesn't translate. It's good on TV. It just doesn't translate the same. When you can be in this immersive experience and you see this beautiful, brutal choreography of line changes and puck dumps, like you see it and you're like, I had no idea this was going on. So seeing it, it's beautiful in its violence, right? It's part of the game, which is great. The speed, the gracefulness, the elegance, and again, to support it with some fun music, fun videos, fun creation, it's great. And we're proud of what we've been able to do here, and we look to keep growing with it for sure.
You will hear more from Johnny Greco in just a moment. Time now for Luxury Living Vegas Style with Gady Medrano, star of TV's Flipping Vegas, which you can see on the DIY Network. A lot of people these days think they know what to do when they're buying or selling a home, thanks to watching HGTV all the time. Is that right, Gady?
That may not be applicable to your particular home or to your neighborhood or to the comparables and what they're looking at. So that's why you really need to talk to an expert, because what you're seeing is a very tunnel vision. And also, this is a home you love. You're not seeing it objectively. I don't care who you are. You're not, even my own home, and I'm as objective as they come, I think, but because there are so many homes. But, you know, hey, well, I love that tile, and I remember picking that out, and it, you know, it was special ordered. I'm like, yeah, but that was like 5 years ago, and there's an entirely different trend going on. and where does that, how you have to calibrate things correctly. So, you know, there are a number of things you need, at the very least, someone that's objective.
You can find out more about Gady at GadyRealEstate.com, spelled G-A-D-Y. More with Golden Knights executive Johnny Greco in just a few moments. You are listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi, nationwide on the BizTalk Radio Network.
You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
You are listening to the man responsible for those incredible pregame shows and between period activities at Vegas Golden Knight games, Johnny Greco. Well, what you did at the opening throughout the playoffs, at the opening of the game, were these like little vignettes.
Yeah.
People across the country were fascinated. I mean, people that didn't care about hockey would want to tune in for that, just like they want to listen to the national anthem. I mean, I see it on YouTube. People will sit there and look at that.
Yeah.
First of all, where did you get the idea that, and when you started hearing all that in the first series with the Kings, do you think, wow, we got to do this? And how do you keep it fresh?
It was hard. You know, it was an exciting process. And again, it was a team of real creative people all sharing ideas. And, hey, what if we do this? What if we try this? And hockey was number one always. And again, so you were at you saw what we did last year. We were doing a lot of that early on in the year. So what happens is when you're playing Washington, then Chicago, and then you have to be a little more generic because you just can't do that every single game and be super unique to the program. It's just you'd get too exhausted. But once you get to the playoffs and you know that you're going to play the LA Kings, potentially for seven games, four home games, you can program for four shows. So we could really kind of immerse ourselves in a story and a narrative that would play for that series. And then fortunately, we won and we got a chance to do another one. So the next series, you get to kind of program what that is. But we would sit and it was fortunate, but on the programming side, it was a little confusing because we had to, for the Western Conference Finals, I remember, we could have played Nashville, could have played Winnipeg. So we had to have a plan in place because we were going to have home ice advantage, I guess, against Winnipeg, where what happens if we play them? What happens? So we had to have two different opens ready to go. And until that final horn sounded and one of those teams won, we were like, okay, go. We were either going to like cut the teeth off a saber-toothed tiger or cut a plane in half. And like, these are ridiculous things. Like, who talks about this? So again, fortunately, with the comments all around the country, people were excited and had fun. But you're allowed. This is art. It's really subjective. There were plenty of haters too. And that's okay. You know what? You watched and you watched enough to know you hated it. I respect that. That's cool. Not everybody's going to love it. And it's not really built for the fans at home. The experience we're creating is more of an immersive home ice advantage sort of thing that people, you got to be there. So it's kind of neat at home, and we're honored that they covered it the way they did on national TV, but you got to be there and tell me if the fans like it or not. Because it doesn't always matter what I like or what somebody else likes. It's like, does the crowd love it? Are they into it? Did it set up home ice advantage? For in the end, that's what we want. We want to help our team win.
So, Johnny, the season ends.
Yeah.
You and your team look at each other and go, oh, my God, what are we going to do for an encore? I mean, was that kind of, you know, kind of hard to top this?
It was hard to top this, and I don't know if we have, but we'll always go for it. And I remember I spoke to a few of my professional colleagues that I really respect who had been a part of inaugural franchises, and they were all like, congratulations on the first season. What a year. Unbelievable. Second year is harder. Now what are you going to do? And it is, you've raised this bar and everyone's like, oh, that was so cool what you did. What do you do now? And so we kept it simple. We went back to our core values of storytelling and what we believe and what we think with our brand first, home ice advantage, the hockey leading. And then just, you know, hey, we're Vegas, so what are we going to do that's fun? And then you just look at what you've built equity on too, because the question a lot of people asked year one was like, what are your traditions going to be? And I'm like, that's a really strange question because traditions are formed. I can't shove a tradition down someone's throat. Like, it gave proof through the night. We didn't come up with it. The crowd did it. We celebrated it. And now that's a moment that gives you chills, you know? And those things have to organically happen. So we can notice certain things trending and then we kind of activate it a little bit if we can. But we realized last year we had a few successes that our crowd enjoyed. So we weren't going to change it all the way. And we also have to make sure we save, I don't want to say save some in the tank, but just be ready to take it to another level if and when you get another incredible shot to be in the playoffs, too.
Do you have anything we can look for? You strike me as a guy that thinks about this stuff at night. What if we did this? Is there anything like that that you want to try? Yeah. And number two, what would you tell somebody that's come and visit? You know, what are the things that could really enjoy this game that maybe they're not even a big hockey fan, but they just want to experience it?
Those are two really good questions. And yes, ask my wife and my kids. Like, we are constantly, ooh, you know what would be cool? Ooh, let's dance to this. Oh, let's try this. That's always kind of what's going on. You know, if you're coming to Vegas and you're like, oh, what should we do? And somebody says, let's check out a hockey game. Oh, I'm not a hockey fan. No problem. That's cool. Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you just don't like it. That's all right. We have tried to create an entertainment experience that, again, respects hockey first. But if you're not a fan of the sport and you like entertainment and you like just something, maybe if you've been to any sporting event before, it's a little bit different than probably things you've seen before, give it a shot. We've got a march that we kind of appropriated from football, European football or MLS soccer, where we have all of these incredible performers and drumline bringing you to the fortress, and you have performances outside, and then you come in and you have a club atmosphere while the team is warming up, and then you've got, you know, all of these incredible hosts and all of these performers, and you've got we worked with a Hollywood costume designer to create the suit of armor for our Golden Knight, and he's launching t-shirts in the crowd, and you've got a celebrity siren where Shaquille O'Neal may show up, and you know, I haven't mentioned hockey yet, you know, the puck hasn't dropped, right? So again, hockey is what people are coming for. But if you happen to be lukewarm on the idea, come and check it out. It's different probably than anything you've ever seen, and we're really honored to be a part of it. We're honored to be a part of Vegas, and we want to keep doing whatever we can to make them proud and create home ice advantage in all we do. So we'll keep at it as much as we can.
Well, Johnny, best of luck, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Maybe we'll see if we can take another run here.
If those show up, we'll come up with some crazy ideas, and we'll have a lot of fun. I appreciate it very much, Steve. Thank you, bud.
So you can add sports to the activities that Vegas does well. And of course, you already knew the fine dining in town was outstanding, but here's a place you might not know about yet. As you know, Las Vegas has cuisines from around the world. Many of the great ones are right on the Strip, or some even in downtown. But if you're just off the Strip a bit, you can find the greatest Spanish food you're ever going to eat short of a trip to Spain. It's called Pamplona Cocktails and Tapas. It's located on Sahara, which just is a short drive from the Strip. And with us is the chef, the guy that makes it all happen, Ariel Siniga. Now, Ariel, first of all, you've been doing this for a while, right? I mean, you actually worked your way up through the ranks here, and now as the head chef here, this whole Spanish cuisine thing, it really is different than what people are going to find in other restaurants, isn't it?
Yes, it's Pamplona is Spain. The city is actually in northern Spain and the borders next to France. So we try to keep everything as authentic as we can to the best regions of Spain. And we also cater to like the Canary Islands and stuff like that, recipes from there. Yeah, so we try to cater as much as we can to keep it as authentic as we can.
Well, my gosh, if you go to their website, and we'll tell you where that is in just a bit. What a variety you have. I mean, if people think this is a limited menu of just a few types of similar foods, I guess I didn't realize the Spanish food was so diverse.
Yes, it's very diverse. It's a very multicultural country that is influenced by many different cultures, mostly Portugal and France, which is its neighboring countries, and northern Africa, Morocco, and stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about tapas, first of all. It's in the name of the place, and that's not all you do, but tapas, people love them. They're not just appetizers. You can make a meal out of these things, can't you?
Oh, yes, definitely. One of the things that we recommend when you come to a Spanish tapas restaurant is that you come with a large group of people, order many different tapas. That way you can enjoy all the different things that we offer, and you get to enjoy different parts of our menu.
Well, I think that's great advice. It's a beautiful place. And, you know, I can be a fussy eater sometimes. Sometimes I won't go out. But, you know, this is a menu that I'm sure everybody can find a few things that they're going to love.
Yes. We offer a lot of dishes, from seafood to meat dishes. And we also are very particular to catering to people that are vegetarians, vegans, people that have gluten-free. We have different options where we could change some of the menu items so we can cater to those people as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Basque before, and that's great food as well. And then you got French influences. And when you were talking about the plate of meat, I was thinking as an Italian, wow, that sounds good. And I noticed you have good cheeses to go along with that.
Yes, it's kind of funny because France and Italy, they're very well known for their cheeses and their charcuterie. Well, Spain, a lot of people are not familiar with Spanish cuisine. They are also known for their cuts of cheese. And you'll find a lot of similarities with our cheeses and meats, but they are very different at the same time.
More with Chef Ariel Sinega in just a moment. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi, coast to coast on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lisa Gay, and you're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
The action is hot, the atmosphere cool, and the parking is free. The Orleans Hotel and Casino, over 1,800 rooms, 70 lanes of bowling, an 18-screen movie theater, 8,000-seat arena, fabulous dining, virtual reality, a giant race and sports book, and the biggest stars are in the Orleans showroom. The Orleans Hotel and Casino, 2 blocks west of the Strip, minutes from the airport, with rooms starting at $45. This is how you Vegas, the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Visit OrleansCasino.com.
Now, let's return to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
You are listening to Chef Ariel Sinega of Pompaloma Tapas Restaurant, just a short drive off the Strip. Well, now, you know, you're working in Las Vegas, and you're up against the best chefs of the world. I mean, you just go up a few blocks and down the Strip, and they're all there. And yet, you really consider this restaurant to be as good as you'll put up the Spanish food among any other places around town.
Yes. In my career, in my 16-year career as a chef, I've worked 9.5 years in Spanish cuisine, so I'm very familiar with the cuisine. Me competing with the other chefs, it boils down to having authentic Spanish products, very good products, and I'm very happy with our food providers, our sales vendors that provide me with our imported stuff from Spain. Everything is imported from Spain, and it's very high quality stuff. So that has a lot to do with the quality of our product as well.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you serve dinner from 3 o'clock, I believe. You have a great happy hour, too. Talk a little about that, because this is a great place for happy hour, especially if you're not familiar with the cuisine. Great way to kind of dive into it.
Yes. Well, we offer different specials. Every night we have our happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. We have different drink specials every day. On Wednesday, we have ladies' nights, for example. For ladies, they get 2-for-1 sangrias, pitchers of sangria. We also, in order to give you more of that Spanish, environment here, ambiance, we offer during happy hour, for every drink you buy, we give you a pincho. A pincho is basically like a crostini with, you know, something on top of that. And in Spain, that's very popular in Spain, that whenever you go to one of the restaurants or bars, they give you a pincho every time you order a drink. So we try to keep it as authentic, which is very unique because other restaurants in Spain don't do that here. We're the only ones.
Yeah, and I remember, it's funny because I remember Anthony Bourdain going out in that area and talking about the tapas, and you would go out and drink, and you could eat all these little different things. So it's exactly right. One more thing before we go, though, I want to talk to you about is your brunch. Now, Vegas brunches are a big deal, and yet your menu holds up to them. You get pretty adventurous with breakfast. I mean, whether you have a sweet tooth or you want to dive into the more meaty stuff, you offer a lot of food.
Yes, for brunch, we offer our American dishes with Spanish influences, like our Eggs Benedict. We have our traditional Eggs Benedict with the ham, the egg, and then we also have you have an option to put our Iberico, the pork belly, or you can add our jamón serrano or a Spanish chorizo versus your traditional ham. Well, we also offer our huevos de flamenca, which is eggs cooked your way over potato chorizo and sofrito. And then we also got you guys got to come check out our menu. We have so many options, and so we offer traditional breakfasts, and you know, some with a Spanish twist to it, as well as a lot of sweet. We offer different Danishes and breads and desserts as well.
Well, we're going to have you check out the menu, and then when you come here, it's really not very far, and it's well worth the drive. So tell us, Chef, where do we find this online so we can get a preview of it, and then what's the easiest way? Would you recommend reservations or what?
Yes, for the weekends especially, I recommend that you do call our restaurant or visit us on Open Table. You can do reservations on Open Table. We are located about 2 miles west of the Strip on Sahara. It's a little tricky to find, but Google's your friend. You know, you could, Google Maps will guide you right to us. For reservations, yeah, I recommend Open Table or call our restaurant.
And the website is?
It's www.pamplonalasvegas.com.
Okay, well, thanks, Chef. We'll hope to talk with you again.
All right, thank you very much.
Time now for your Vegas Insider, Scott Robin of VitalVegas.com. Last week took us behind the scenes of T-Mobile Arena. This week, Scott has more.
Another one I would recommend is a lot of these Cirque du Soleil shows. I know you didn't ask about this, but they have a lot of open houses now, too. Open rehearsals, open houses. Just look on the internet and see when it happens. It's free, and you get a real glimpse of what's involved in these incredible productions that are just over the top with technology and performances. You get to see, in some cases, performers rehearsing. Like, that's all fascinating to me. I, as you may know from having talked to me, I like seeing things behind the scenes and knowing how the city works and shows work and restaurants work and brothels. I did, you know, back of house is back of house, so I have an ongoing interest in that. So whether it's T-Mobile or a show or any other behind-the-scenes thing, I'm a big fan.
Well, then I guess you can't wait to get into, once they finish building it, the Raiders Stadium, right? Because that's going to be a whole other thing, big old monster.
It looks like a monster, yeah. I'm curious about a lot of things about the Raiders Stadium, and I've seen the model. I thought it would have a retractable roof, but everybody thinks I'm an idiot for saying that because they're like, oh, football happens when it's, you know, better weather. But I'm like, what about a concert or other sporting events? It gets a little toasty in Vegas. So there's a lot of logistical things that I want to see. I want to see what the view of the Strip is. I mean, they cause themselves a lot of challenges by putting the stadium there because it is right next to the Strip, but where are you going to park? You know, you're right in the thick of it with traffic and all these other challenges, but I think they wanted to have that wow factor, and they wanted to have something that could open up and you could see that Strip. That's going to be gold for them. Gold, I say.
Make sure to check out Scott's blog, VitalVegas.com, every day for updates on the ever-changing news of Las Vegas. When you come to Las Vegas, you're always looking for value. You can find it at the Orleans Hotel. It's got a great Mardi Gras theme. They've got everything you need in the room. Suites have even more. You get a free shuttle to the Strip. You're not far from it in the first place, but you're real close by free shuttle. But there for the family, you've got a movie theater. You've got a bowling alley, an arcade, and an arena with some great live entertainment. Top all that with fantastic restaurants, and you really have something. It's just minutes away from the Strip. You want to stay there. So to make reservations, go to OrleansCasino.com. That's OrleansCasino.com. Thanks for listening. Next week, you'll meet Rich Natoli, who's one of those great local acts you can only see in Vegas. Have a great weekend. This is Stephen Maggi reminding you, Vegas never sleeps.